Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar, known for delivering solar excellence since 1984 and recently voted best solar company in Marin County. We're also brought to you by Terzo, an authentic upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. Today's guest is Giants AAA affiliate play-by-play announcer Johnny Dosko with the Sacramento Rivercats. Well, Johnny, the Rivercats, they're kind of playing like the Giants overall in the season. I know they just recently had a pretty good hot streak going. But, you know, it's tough when a team isn't winning and you're looking for the silver lining. What are the silver linings, I guess, as far as some of the players and the guys who have produced? Because there have been some players that have gone up to the Giants this year.
There have, you know, and that's, of course, the goal of the AAA manager and the team, to get guys up there and contribute at the big league level. And, Austin Slater, I think, a success story as far as, you know, getting to the big leagues, and now he's got to try to stay. But I don't, you know, who knows what's going to happen. You know, the Giants, we don't know what's going to happen with the Giants, so there could be some moves. You never know. But I think, you know, getting Slater up there, it's obviously Arroyo going up, although he struggled a little bit at the end. But, you know, he won a few games for the Giants, so that was a success story. He was hitting .446 down here when he got called up. And but there are some guys, I think, that may still be going up at some point. You know, J.U. Wong, utility infield. He's played some third base. He's played some first base, played a little outfield, not much. He's hitting the ball really well. You know, Chris Shaw, who just got to us, and he's starting to hit the ball, and Ryder Jones as well. So you got some guys that, you know, that have a chance to go up and possibly contribute at some point this year. It all depends on the Giants and where they are here in about 3 weeks to a month. You know, right now, pretty far out of the wild card, so it's going to be interesting to see the moves that they make. But it's still been fun to watch. You know, the team has struggled for the most part. I mean, the team right now, they find themselves 13 back with 84 games to go. So Reno's playing great ball. Reno, I think, 15 games over .500. But there have been some positives, Joe, no question about it. And it's fun to see these guys and hopefully he'll get an opportunity at the big league level at some point this year.
Well, Chris Shaw, you mentioned him, and he's an intriguing guy, just the sheer power that he has. I had a chance to see him a little bit in San Jose, and just watching him take batting practice, that's entertaining in itself. So what have you noticed about him so far?
Yeah. Well, you know, you're right, Joe, man. 6'4", 235, big guy, so quiet at the plate. I mean, not to get too technical, because I don't know this stuff compared to the experts, but you just watch him at the plate, and his body is so quiet, and his swing is so fluid, and you're right. You don't watch him miss. You don't miss watching him take BP. And, you know, he's great, man. I just love watching him play, and he's, you know, learning the outfield, and he's such a humble kid, but a confident kid. And, you know, he uses the entire field. It's a great swing, and he's got a great future. He's fun to watch. But, you know, the other day, you know, he understands it's part of it. He had a 4-strikeout game, and, you know, he knows, you know, came back the next day and got a couple hits. So he's a good looking ball player, man. He's got a great chance. And, I'm so glad we have the opportunity to see him in Sacramento. I had heard about him. You know, it's funny having broadcast baseball, you know, we try to separate what we hear about a kid and what we see. And, you know, sometimes you hear these great things and you expect these things. Then when you watch him, it's different. But this guy, you heard all about him, and then you watch him, and it's legit. He's definitely got a great future ahead of him, and a great kid, too.
We'll have more with Sacramento Rivercats play-by-play announcer Johnny Dosko right after this. Jones goes back near the wall, shading the sun, and he dropped it. He lost the ball in the sun. Let's put the sun to good use at home with a SunPower residential solar system. Your SunPower elite dealer, SunFirst Solar, has a wide range of financing options, and they provide the finest customer service from start to finish, regardless of size or scope. Sun First Solar offers the highest efficiency systems, newest technology, and the best warranty in the world. Sun First Solar offers the most competitive price while not compromising on quality. This summer, let the sun heat your pool and eliminate your energy bill. Don't drop the ball. Call Sun First Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. And get your Sun Power solar system today.
I think it's legit when you're talking about Tyler Beede. I mean, just him as a prospect. It is always hard when you go up to the Pacific Coast League. The numbers definitely jump up for pitchers. So he seems like the guy who could handle that. But, you know, what has it been that has enabled him to kind of get through the first part of the season? Because, you know, he's not dominating so far just looking at the numbers.
Outstanding point by you. You know, you hear about the Coast League and these guys hear about it and they go up and they pitch in these ballparks that are so hitter friendly, and you see how they react and you want to know how they're handling it. He's handling it really well. He's had some great outings, but he's had some outings too where he struggled. You know, he went to Reno and had a tough time. You go to some of these hitter friendly ballparks and, you know, I'm trying to remember if he pitched in Vegas. I think he had a tough outing in Vegas too, but he's had some really solid outings and he's got good stuff and he's handled it well. And I think he's one of those guys that will handle the big league pressure well. Just from watching, it's hard to tell sometimes. You see a guy at AAA and he handles it well and goes up there and doesn't handle it as well. But I think he's a guy that can handle it well, and he's got obviously the stuff is there. It's just a question of how you handle situations up there and how you're able to handle big league hitters and handle failure. And I think he's one of those guys that's pretty mentally strong, like Arroyo, and if he's going to be able to handle that. So I think the future is bright, and I've enjoyed watching him pitch. You know, he's pitching today, and I always love, you know, whenever he's pitching at Wrigley Field, of course, a pitcher-friendly ballpark, I always feel he will have success. But, yeah, he's just improving and learning. And the thing about him that he told me that he said, you know, I used to, when I had a bad outing, it would stay with me for 4 or 5 days. I'd think about it. I'd be obsessed with it and consumed by it. He said, now I take the good parts of that outing and I apply it. The bad parts, I try to learn from it. But I think he's matured so much, and he's really self-aware as far as his game goes. So I think that's really helped him to be a better player and be a better pitcher and better person. So he's always learning, Joe, and he's excited about getting to the next level. He says it's hard not to think about it when you see all these guys get called up, especially where the Giants are right now. But he's trying not to think about it and just try to pitch his game.
You know, Kyle Crick is a guy who was definitely up there as far as prospects for a while, and then he had his struggles, and he had all kinds of walk issues as a starter. Now he's closing games for you guys. What have you thought about him? What's the change been like for him?
You know, Joe, I had heard all about this guy, and he had 4 years at AA, and I heard, you know, the nightmare stories and all that. You know, I'm telling you, I go in with a clean slate with these guys. You hear about a guy, and, oh, you have Kyle Crick coming in, but then you see him, and you watch, you know, he's been great. I mean, as a person, and he's just a different guy in that relieving role. He's throwing strikes. He's confident. He goes at hitters. He's not nibbling. The stuff is there. He's throwing upwards to 96, 97 miles an hour. Great stuff. And I think he has the mentality to close. I really do. I mean, who knows what happens at the big league level, but he's gonna get to the big leagues. I think he's gonna pitch well. He's been a treat to watch. When he goes in, you know it's gonna be lights out. And I love the fact that he just absolutely goes at hitters. Like, here's my stuff. You know, he grew up idolizing Nolan Ryan, as most kids from Texas do. And he's just got that cowboy attitude. Go get it. And he's really been fun to watch. I love when he gets in there, and his arm feels good. He's confident. He's having a great time, smiling all the time. But I heard the stories going in, but he's not like that at all. I think he's just matured now that he's 24.
More with the voice of the Sacramento Rivercats, Johnny Doskow, right after this. Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product.
Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website, www.terzosf.com, for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs. I want to get back to Christian Arroyo, who, as you mentioned, I mean, he had that great start with the Giants and then tailed off, but he did show a lot of athleticism defensively. And, you know, I wonder about a kid that young. He gets the chance. He comes back down. It's never easy. He hits a home run the other day for you guys. So, you know, obviously he's got a good mindset. He was just tearing it up before he went up. But how about just the whole roller coaster of it? You've seen players have to deal with that, and at that young age, not easy, because, you know, you're a big leaguer, you're gonna be with the Giants for the next 15 years, and then all of a sudden you got to go back to AAA.
It's tough. It really is. And, you know, it's man, you know, he was doing, it was really the Giants, I guess they said they had no choice but to bring him up. They needed him up there, and he, as you said, he won a couple games. It's so hard for a player when he goes up to the big leagues for the first time and then has to go down. That's the thing. The Giants didn't want him to go back down. They wanted him to stay up there, but they had no option on it. And he knew that. And he knew the problem is, you know, the players know a week before that they're going to get sent down. You know, you hear the talk and you're struggling, and then you're putting more pressure on yourself. But he's a guy, he's so mentally strong. He came by his first at bat back, Joey had a home run the other way. You know, his first at bat. Yeah, he's not going to have big leagueitis. I think the guy is going to, he's going to tear it up again and get another opportunity. He's so strong mentally. He really is. And, you know, for another kid, if you told me this exact situation, didn't tell me who the player was, I'd say, oh, my gosh, his confidence is going to be shot. But not this kid, really. He's a different animal, and he's so strong mentally that I think he's going to be – he'll be fine. He'll be fine. I mean, it's too bad, obviously. Want him to stay up there. But he'll come back here, maybe tear it up for – 6-8 weeks and then go back up, you know? So the good thing is he's had a taste of it. So he knows, you know, and that's the hardest thing too, you know, not just on the field stuff, but you go from the big leagues to the minor leagues and the travel's different. The hotels are different. Everything's different. So you get used to that again, but he's got that confident attitude, but he doesn't have that big league attitude. He's not going to big league people. He's such a down to earth guy and he's going to be fine. I'm really not worried about him.
You know what's amazing about these players now compared to, you know, when I was growing up, when you were growing up, is that they can move positions and it seems seamless to me. Like, I mean, when I was growing up watching baseball, you're a third baseman, you're a third baseman, or you're an outfielder, that's it. You're really not going to move. They are so athletic, and you already mentioned Wong moving around, and Arroyo, I wondered, how is he going to handle third compared to being a shortstop? Seems like he's handled it great.
He has. You're right, Joe. You just didn't see that back in our day. You're so right. And guys move all over the place, and they play well. You know, Wong had a challenge this year. Wong had to play the outfield in Salt Lake City. He had never played outfield in his life, and he played an outfield with 45, 50-mile-an-hour wind. And it was challenging for him. He's balls all over the place. He actually made a diving catch. He struggled with a couple balls out there. But, yeah, you're right. These guys are so athletic so versatile that the teams say, hey, listen, go get him at second base, go get him at third base. But you're right, Arroyo, just from what I saw from the outside, watching him on television, listening to the Giants on the radio, he seemed to handle all the positions pretty well up there, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, just when they put him over at shortstop, he was great. And then you put him at second, he made a great play. It's like, you know, he just can handle anything.
Yeah. He's the pressure doesn't really face him. It's just tough. You know, the big league pitchers, talk about the hitting, you know, big league pitchers, they figure you out so fast. It's making adjustments to their adjustment. And it's just, they'll find the weakness, they'll expose it, they'll get you. So it's, that's the one thing I was worried about with Christian going up as early as he did. But I was hoping he'd stay down with the Giants for a while and then go up July 1st and dominate from there. But they needed him. That was the thing. The Giants really had no choice. They needed him at that point. In a perfect world, they wouldn't have had the injuries. They would have had the time. They would have been able to kind of put him up. I don't think they really wanted to bring him up when they did, but I think they had to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So outside of Wrigley Field, what's your favorite ballpark to call games on the road?
You know what? I like Memphis. Memphis is like a mini major league ballpark. It just, everything is so, so nice out there. And beautiful brick ballpark. And when you go down to watch BP, it sounds like a big league batting practice with the echo, the sound. So I love doing games there. Really, most of the ballparks I really like. Nashville's a brand new ballpark. I like that one. My least favorite, probably New Orleans, just for the fact that it's the lighting's bad and that there's no fans there. It's just that's a little grindy. But most of the ballparks are really fun to call games. Obviously, I love going to New Orleans. It's such a great city. Raley Field's great. Obviously, I like doing games, even though Reno, you're kind of on the concourse in a small little box, but I like the angle because it's great for pitch recognition. So there are kind of high scoring games in Reno. I don't mind doing games there. I really like doing games in pretty much most of the ballparks, but I would say Memphis, Oklahoma City, those are probably my two faves for sure.
What keeps you going? I mean, you've been doing this a long time. What year is this now for you with the Rivercats? You've been there since the beginning, right?
17th to the Rivercats, yeah. And 25th overall. Yeah,
wow.
It's amazing. Yeah.
What keeps you going? Because, I mean, yeah, the travel is difficult at the minor league level. I know you love the baseball, but what keeps you going?
Well, I think it is the baseball, and you love it. And the fact that every day is different, it really is. It's fun. Like I genuinely enjoy going to the ballpark every day and talking to the coaches and talking to the players and just something new. Who's pitching? What's going to happen today? You know, what's going on with the big club? There's always something exciting. And I think about the fact that when you do travel and you have these long days where you're wiped out, but you think, God, there's nothing else, not only that I'd rather do, but nothing else that I really could do. You know what I mean? It's like, this is what I just can't imagine June 12th or July 16th. You'd miss it. And I know I'd miss it. So I don't know, you know, do I keep doing minor league ball all the way through? I mean, I can't imagine doing anything else. And people say, wow, 25th year of minor league baseball, are you going to still do this thing? You know, but it's my big leagues right now. It's what I love and what I have a passion for. And I honestly, I know it sounds so cliche, but I just can't imagine doing anything else. As long as I'm enjoying it every day, I'm going to keep doing it. That's the thing. People ask me, how long are you going to do it? I'm going to do it until I stop enjoying it. So I'm like dreading the travel, you know? So it goes fast. You know how it is, man. The season goes so fast. You've been in it. You know, like from April 6th to September 4th, it flies. I mean, it's already June 7th. It's ridiculous. I mean, just trying to savor it because it goes so fast. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like life. It just moves so rapidly. So you just try to savor as much as you can, you know?
You know what's a really cool part is, too, is that when you run into players, and, you know, you filled in with the Oakland A's, when you run into major league players and they were on your minor league team at some point, just the memories that you share. I mean, it's great to run into a guy like that, right?
It's great. Steven Vogt, just so many great memories just at the airports with him and just seeing his success at the big league level, seeing what he's doing. It really is cool. And you see these guys that, like an Adam Rosales, a guy that it just, the way he plays the game, he love it. And, you know, now we're getting a little more history with the Giants, you know, I mean, 2015, the first year, and seeing these guys go up and get an opportunity, it's really cool. It's really cool because that's their, you know, and seeing the call up, seeing when they get called up, like Austin Slater got called up the other day, Joe, by Dave Brundage, and he came to the bus with Chris Shaw at 5 a.m. and he was half asleep, and Brundage told him, "You like the money you're making in AAA?" He's like, "No," and he said, "Would you like to be making better money?" He's like, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, you're going to be making it in San Francisco," and he just lost it. And then they had the town car. It was just, you know, those kinds of things are pretty cool with a guy's dream. You know, and the other side too, it's obviously tough when you have to tell a guy his dream is done. You know, you've got to release a guy, and so baseball can be heartbreaking and joyful at the same time. You know, it's just and the season your career it goes so fast, you know, for these guys. So it's pretty cool to see the whole process, how it works, and the joy, and of course the tough part too. So I love it, Joe. I can't imagine doing anything else. I just can't imagine it.
Well, Johnny, thanks so much for the time today. Enjoy the rest of the homestand. Fresno's in there and then Reno, so you get some time at home, and hope to run into you later on this season.
Yeah, I hope to run into you. Are you going to be in Fresno at all?
Comcast is not doing those games this year, so I may have to just drive up to Sacramento and, and sit in the booth with you for an inning or something.
Anytime, man. Come on up. Come on up, bud.
That's Sacramento RiverCats play-by-play announcer Johnny Doskow. Coming up this weekend, we'll be at AT&T Park as the Giants take on the Minnesota Twins. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.